I must stress this matter again as we go through these three lessons, and that is the emphasis must be people. I think one of the renewal, at least the renewing of the mind in the matter of eldership, indeed in our church life, is that it is always easier to center on things, on projects, on matters. But it is not easy to see and also to invest our energy and time firstly on people, and I would say mainly on people, and I would even say entirely on people. And so the result is we become not a people-centered church. We become a something-centered church, work center, activity center, matters center. And let me say, even as much as we meet, even the meetings that we center on could, it depends on how we are, could not be centered on human beings, on people. I just want to make sure we have good meetings, we have good services, or we have good whatever in the church life. Missing the whole point that it is about people. We need a radical change in this matter. Yesterday, I gave a word to the full-timers down south. I meet with them every other week. And I gave them a little outline I prepare that I can give it to you later on this subject. And I only use 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20. And in these two verses, Paul said that, "You are my joy. You are my crown of boasting in that day, the day of the appearing of the Lord Jesus. The first thing is that you are my hope, my joy, and the crown of my boasting at the appearing of the Lord Jesus. Then the next verse says, for you are my glory and joy." So I gave a word to these are full-timers. I said people that we serve, people, human beings, sinners, believers, saints, people, must be these four things to us: our hope, our joy, our boast or crown, and our glory. That's the way with Paul. And he said it. That means without these Thessalonians, Paul would become a hopeless person. He would have no hope before the judgment seat of Christ. No hope. And he would have no boast at the judgment seat of Christ. He would have no joy at the judgment seat of Christ. And he would have no glory. Those four words refer to that day. Do you know that? All those four words refer to a kind of result of our meeting the Lord. Whether we'll enter into glory, am I right? Whether we'll earn a crown, am I right? Whether we'll have a hope to be in the millennium, whether we'll enter into the joy of our Master, He associate His these things that He hope or anticipate to receive from the Judge, the Lord Jesus, with the people that He served. He was no kind of enterprise, no kind of great project meant anything to Him. The Thessalonians meant everything to Him. And elsewhere He said the same thing, you know, in Philippians 4, I think, and I'm sure in 2 Corinthians somewhere you can look at it. It was just a very, very simple outline. I reminded the full-timers what you are really full-time for. What is full-time all about? It's about people. And brothers, for us to have a change in our church life, we must be churches that are fully, fully oriented towards human beings. Day and night. Now we're talking about elders or leading brothers. Even the more. And this is why I have always almost ridiculing signing checks. Yeah? I almost despise making announcements. Not because those things are not necessary. No. But those things, those kind of things, have a way of replacing our real job. Those are our sort of, by the way, we do those things. And a lot of those kind of Levitical work can be left to the so-called deacons to do, the saints to do. What should a leading brother do? What is his main job? His main job is day and night to work on people. Amen. Just working on people. To care for their spiritual well-being. To improve their spiritual welfare, whether it is bringing a sinner to Christ, whether it is bringing a believer to advance, to grow in the Lord, whether it is to help someone to be more equipped with the truth, whether it is to help them to love the Lord, to read the Bible, consecrate, take the cross, to deny themselves, to serve, to speak and function. All these is our job. It's our real job. And that's why three messages in a row are all about that. I really hope there would be a fundamental change in the way we orient ourselves. We're just here for people. We are just here day and night for people. And brotherly say the leading ones should visit the saints regularly according to the phone list, you know. To do what? Why is that visitation needed? That visitation is to what? Is to revive them. Is to minister life to them. It is to make them living. You see, to become living and functioning members. And so, of course, this includes a lot of skill. This includes a lot of learning. And that's why we have these lessons. But I want to make that point. Make that very, very important point. You know, what is the God-ordained way? You know, we pay a lot of attention to the way. You know, what is the God-ordained way? Well, I think that's off. That's off. The God-ordained way is all about people. There's It's all about people, whether it's begetting or nourishing or perfecting, teaching or prophesying. Those are not just some steps, some kind of dead steps that we just try to do. It's about people. You have to raise up the living people to walk in this living way. It's not giving people a bunch of ways, some dead people a bunch of ways, and expect them to do it. When the people are alive, living, I tell you, the way works. If people are not alive, what any way won't work. Even the God-ordained way doesn't work with dead people, or you know what I mean, non-functional, unvitalized people. So we've got to get it here, brothers. It's the heart. I feel there's a shortage of heart in the eldership. There's more things to take care of, more things to do, but not enough heart for people. And when we say people, we mean caring for people in a personal, intimate, thorough, patient fashion. Nothing demands our energy and strength like people. Like people, brothers. Things don't talk back to you, you know. It's easy. So, you know, very freshly, my second daughter with their first child, this 8 months old now, and of course I've seen it. You know, we have two girls, my wife, who did the heavy lifting, and now I watch, you know, my second daughter have her first baby, and my goodness, I, you know, sometimes I tell people I wish I'm a sister, but when I look at her, I said, thank God I'm not a female. I mean, I just don't have that kind of. It's 24/7. It is like anxious all the time. Is how come he's not crawling yet? The other babies are crawling already. He's still not crawling. And he couldn't sleep because of that, you know, and the weight, you know. Is he this week? Is he growing? You know, is he? You know what I mean. And that's only a baby. You know, talking about raising a person up. I think there's nothing better than the analogy of parenting or motherhood, which Paul squarely put himself into whenever he talks about the believers. Am I right? I'm a father that begot you in the gospel. Then in 1 Thessalonians, the nursing mother, the cherishing, exhorting father. And all over the place, he always treats the believers and the churches as his own children, his own children. That's Paul's ministry. That's Paul. He wasn't going around, sorry to say, building meeting halls. He was going around caring for people. Caring for people. Brothers, we do need a change. We do need a change. Right? And once you get into it, you will know the difficulty of it, the extreme investment you have to put in, because it's a labor, absolute labor. But you will also begin to appreciate Paul's words about these four things: the hope, the joy, the crown, and the glory at the coming of the Lord. Brothers, this has to do with the judgment seat. It's not just about whether you live a good life at the judgment seat. It's your service, your care for, how many people you care for at the judgment seat. We'll be checked. We'll be checked. How many people you saved, how many people you enliven, how many people you help to grow and perfect. Brothers, let this be our standard of evaluation. Not how big your hall is or how, what, all these things, which I'm not, sorry, it sounds like I'm down on those things. I build meeting halls, you know. Now we just bought this camp, you know, down south, Oak Glen. I have great plans to make it a, you know, after I went down to see the Redwood Christian Park, I got stirred up. So I went that afternoon. Eddie was with me, and I whipped out my very nice camera video. And that was Saturday. I was up here for the retreat. And down south, they were having that day a meeting with all the leading brothers on Oak Glen. I should have been there, but I couldn't. I am committed to come here, so I was here. So I had them put me on Skype and live for 20 minutes. I spoke to the leading brothers in Southern California via Skype on this camera here. And then I start my fellowship with a tour of Redwood Christian Park to inspire them of how beautiful Oak Glen can be. So I went through all of these, including there's a big ark there, you know, there's a big so-called Noah's Ark there, and then the trees and the redwoods and all that stuff. So, okay, my point is, I'm not against meeting halls, all right? But you get my point. I hope you get my point. That is not our main job. That's necessary, all right? We do need some necessary things. The main thing is people. What if we don't have a meeting hall, but we have 1,000 people? I'll be happier than having a meeting hall with about 50 people. You agree? The church is not the meeting hall. The church is the people. Well, let's come back. Without orienting yourself this way, you wouldn't care for these things. You really won't care. Just, okay, it's great. But if you really care for people, my goodness, you will take these things with utmost seriousness. You will give your whole life to learn how to care for people in a better way, right? Okay, so let us continue, all right, with C now. In lesson 32, we cover A and B. One is to make sure people have life. Number two, make sure they're living. You've got to get into that. Brother Lee spoke a lot about his Chifu experiences. Okay, now we come to the third one. Now people are living. Now the saints are made alive. They come alive. They touch the Lord. They contact the Lord. They are consecrated. They have certain dealings with the Lord. And so on and so forth. Now they need to be what? Brought into service. Once a person is alive, if you don't give them a service, that livingness would wane. Because the livingness is so that you can serve. Right? You know, again, at that retreat, we quoted Ezekiel 37, these dry bones in the valley. Then there was the prophesying, and the bone came to his bone. There was a great rattling, and the bones came together, and then what? And then flesh, and then sinew, and then skin. And it says they became a what? An army. It was in the grave before. It was not even in the grave. It was scattered bones. Now it became an exceeding great army of Israel. And that army is a serving army. Brothers, this is our job. this is the real elder's job. That is to help the saints to be spiritually alive, spiritually vital to some degree, you know. Then, once they are, they need to be brought into some service. Every believer, every member, the normal ones, have a desire to serve God. It's in every believer. The life we receive is a serving life. It's the nature of that life, who must worship, who must serve. And our job is to facilitate that. Facilitate that. Oh, Brother Lee, he would consider, we have all these needs in the church on the right pocket, the left pocket, all the names of the saints. Every moment he has time, he would try to match the two. You know, who can do this? Who can? Well, he said, oh, Brother Lee's a fantastic manager. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he is. But let me tell you, if he does not have heart for people, he won't be doing that. It's not just match jobs. It's a burden to see the saints useful, functioning. Until the Lord's, in the Lord's recovery, all the saints are functioning, we're still not there. That is an indictment of degraded Christianity. Our livingness, all our saints functioning, is the true final indictment of that system that kills the function of the believers and caused the church not to be built. But we have to do it in our locality. Brothers, I feel the assignment is not just to go over these things. The assignment is right away you go back and pick up people. And I like to know names. Next time I would like to know names. Brothers, who are you? Who are you working on in your church? Tell me. Tell me the names. Tell me their condition. You're an elder, right? What are you doing? Well, my job is to give announcements. Then I say, you really, what have you been doing here? Or my job is to give the closing word. It's good. We need to give a closing word. But that is just that. Who are you taking care of? Who are you visiting? Pick up the burden to visit one saint at a time. Pick up, categorize them in that kind of a way, you know. I don't mean this to be legal, right? But some of these principles, those who are on the way to being alive, you identify them, you visit them. I tell you, a visit from a responsible brother makes a deep impression on a saint. Just the fact that you show up and visit them is like, wow, it does something. The other saints' visit may not do it, but your visit may do something. And even Burley told us how to visit. Don't go there and dump a message on them. And no, even you just sit there for 10 minutes, just drinking tea. I tell you, that visit may begin to enliven them. And you just leave with a little word of encouragement. And by that visit, you find out how they really are doing. Our real life is not in the meeting, you know. We can perform. The real situation is in their homes. And then you find out. You find out what you have a discernment of what is holding them back. Some of the challenges, is that in their marriage, is that in his work life, is that in his schedule? All these things, you need time, you need energy, and especially you need that kind of dedication. Ultimately, brothers, that's sacrifice. We say love. I love the saints. What does that mean? I love the saints. Love equals sacrifice. You and I have to sacrifice ourselves, our conveniences, our whatever, to really love or care for the brothers and sisters' well-being. Okay, so this is This is our job. I hope all the brothers will pick this up. If all the ones in this room, by the way, I was told the reason for a lesser number is because there's a young people's conference. We may be missing 30, 40 saints, brothers who are not here, so that makes me feel a little better. They're not going on strike because, all right, okay. Anyway, okay, let's get into this. So bringing others into service. The elders have to know the condition of all the ones who have come alive. You need to know their condition. This is not to be nosy. This is not to investigate. But you need to know. They must know their heart toward the Lord, their education, their background, their finances, their family, and their relationship with those around them. We're talking about a very thorough, detailed work on the saints. And you know them not because you have a lust to know, because you need to know. And you know, like a doctor, you know so that you can render the right care. Okay, be their physical strength, their health, their mind must all come under your consideration. You should be all day long besides considering the Lord and the things of the Lord. We spend a lot of time considering the saints in your locality. You think about them. Yeah? Two, in order to bring people into the service, you have to be like a foreman. Not only do you have to call together the workers, but you must have the blueprints, the places to work, and the arrangements for the work. That means these people are alive now. These brothers are ready. This brother, you can just detect. He's really come alive, beginning to be burning like this. Right away, you need to find a way to place this brother to some saints he can be with, some job that he can do, or some area that he can feel that he's serving the Lord. And you know what? That serving the Lord will not only sustain his liveliness, it will actually increase his livingness. Don't we have the experience? The more we serve, the more living we become. And it's a virtuous cycle. And the more we're living, the more we want to serve. Once a saint enter into this cycle, they're good. They're on their way, right? They're on their way. So we need to know the church, where the needs and this and that. Okay. Well, before the Lord, I can testify that I do that. I follow Brother Lee as much as I can. Okay. Three, from the spiritual point of view, you still have to look to God very much to inquire concerning his will and to consider how matters should be handled. Of course, in all of this, as we care for people, we have another pair of eyes always looking to God, to the Lord, touching the Lord for them and on their behalf. All right? You should you have to consider what needs to be done first, what kind of arrangements you need to make, and what kind of people you should bring in. You must not only look to the Lord yourself, but fellowship with those who are serving together with you. And that's what actually a lot of our elders' meetings should be doing this. Not how many dollars are still in our account and just talk about those things. Or spend an hour to come up with a cleaning schedule. 5 minutes, huh? How about that? An hour to come up with a cleaning schedule? Actually, you can do it offline, off the meeting. That meeting is not for arranging cleaning schedule. Elders' meeting is not for that. Elders' meeting is for the people, the church condition, the placement of the saints, the various areas of the church life that requires work, that requires, you know, building up. And it's all done by people. How is this one doing? Should that one be bearing this burden and so on and so forth? Okay, So here you have the example of Brother Lee's administration of the church in Chifu. You can read that. On one list, well, I've done that already. He has the schedule for the whole church with what the church should be doing during those days. On another list, he had the items that needed to be done according to that plan. Still another list enumerated all the items needed. Still another list had all the places needed, and another list the kind of people needed. Wherever he had time, he would match the names with the needs. The arrangement of the service must be done in such a way before it can be weighty. You cannot lightly say, let's bring some people into the service. Neither can you make an announcement saying, brothers and sisters, come and serve. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. We have to do a lot of work already, a lot of preparatory work, so that the saints can easily enter into that service. Right? So much planning, so much consideration has to take place. Now you see why we need full-time leading brothers. Not to sign checks. You don't need to be full-time to sign checks. To do this work, you need lots of time. A lot of time. And thank the Lord there are brothers like this, and we do need more brothers who can do this kind of a work. To me, this is the most meaningful work in the universe, if you ask me. The most meaningful. More meaningful than working in Google, huh? They told me this 2 weeks ago, some who work in Google, these Google workers actually get bored by the Google work. I said, wow, that's good news to me. I thought Google, oh my, you go into Google, you're in heaven. No, they got bored. So they have to move them to another department and give them new challenges. I tell you, eventually, the meaning is not there. Am I right? The real meaning is to serve people. This is the most satisfying and meaningful existence. Brothers, that's what we should be doing. Okay. D, perfecting the functions. The elders cannot bring people into the service and leave them there. Now you are bringing them into the service. But you can just say, okay, go, do it. No, you cannot do that. You must pay attention to the function in these ones. They must find out what kind of function they have and through what kind of service they should be perfected. We have to spend time to perfect others. So here, we have to what is called placement, you know. God has what? Placed the body, the members in the body. There's a certain kind of placement by the head. And so we should have that kind of a view, that kind of consideration. Very detailed work. This brother, I think it's best that he serve here. They will be. This is his strength. This will be the best situation. That sister may be for here, and so on and so forth. These are sheep, the Lord's sheep, and they are here to be led by us. And of course, we have to do this very, very carefully and very much before the Lord. But anyway, they look to us to help them. Okay, and obviously we need to spend time to perfect others. A big part of this work is perfecting the saints. Okay. E, encouraging the gifts. When the brothers and sisters have realized their function in the service, the gifts will be manifested. At that time, the elders will have to encourage them to develop their gifts. You may have to help a person renew his consecration before the Lord. There may be a problem with a degree in his consecration, a problem of nature, of place, and of sovereign right in his consecration. In other words, you're here you're seeing even certain gifts being manifested in them, and you're helping them to develop those gifts, but you may also realize they are somewhat stuck. There's not that adequate manifestation of those gifts. because of certain problems. One problem is maybe there's a shortage in consecration. Three, some brothers cannot have the gifts realized because there's a problem with their character. There's some character problem here. If you can make one who is somewhat lazy, somewhat more diligent, his gift will take form. Those of us who have done this know this is all words of experience. Really words of experience, right? Four, some people may be holding on to some hidden sin. If you help them solve the problem of his sin, you see his gift immediately take shape. Number five, although there are many brothers and sisters in all the local churches, the manifestation of the gifts is very scarce because the elders who administrate the churches have not done a work that is in depth or to the point. So the blame, Brother Lee cast the blame on the elders, on the leading ones, for the lack of manifestation of gifts. Now, of course, there's a lot of details involved here. You know, when someone, some brother, young brother, they have certain gift, they have certain zeal, and then they're living, and then you put them in some service, aha, you know what? The flesh comes out. The ambition comes out. The pride comes out. Well, that's normal. That's almost normal. Then you don't say, oh, get him out of here. He's too ambitious. Some did that, and they killed that young man. If you know how to work, of course, it's in the Lord's mercy, you know, the outcome. We don't control that, but you don't do that. I tell you, in my experience in perfecting brothers especially, is exactly right here. That fine line between, on the one hand, you treasure their talent, their gift, their heart, their energy. You treasure that. You know that that's very good. On the other hand, you have to be aware of the flesh, the rebelliousness, the ambition, all those things. How you successfully help them to mitigate that or deal with that, and yet at the same time serve, bring forth their function in a very pure way, is a hard work. And I've done, well, quite much of this, and I cannot claim success every time. I cannot. There's some that you try, and eventually they were still taken over by those negative things. But still, we have to do our job. You know, even our children, there's no guarantee how they will turn out. Am I right? But we must do our very best to raise them up according to the proper values and so on. We need to work. Now you see why some brothers rather not do this kind of work, because it is so messy, so time-consuming, and so demanding. And giving announcement is, on the other hand, is very enjoyable, right? Brothers, please look at your weekly fellowship. This week, the districts will pray according to the districts. And this week's morning revival is in the book, The Need for a New Revival, week four. And the sisters are gathering on Saturday, and the brothers, we're dismissed. I love that work. Very easy. Very, you know, gives me the position, you know. I have the last word. You know. The announcement is the last word. So a lot of people clamor to be the announcement givers, because this means they are the numero uno, yeah? The number one. Totally off. This is totally shameful. That is not the body of Christ. That is not the Lord's recovery. That's just some kind of human whatever, community. No, brothers, no, no. Forget about that. Forget about that. People. Work on people. You couldn't wait for the announcement to be over so you can dash over to enliven that brother.
Amen.
Whoever gives the announcement, I don't care. I care that brother gets enlivened. Because this morning, he should have spoke in the prophesying meeting. He didn't. And I know that he has something, but his spirit was too weak. So after the meeting, I go and I just do something. I do that kind of thing. Just. So next week, they will function. You see what I'm saying? Or find out why, brother. You today says something wrong. Well, this and that. You see, all this kind of messy, time-consuming work is our work.
Amen.
And I tell you, one person at a time. We want to gain increase to 2,000 people. Every one of the 2,000 is gained one at a time. One at a time. If each one of us can perfect one person per year, we have another 300 people perfected. You think about it, just one, not more than one. Then if many saints would also learn to do this kind of work, I tell you, that's how we will grow. Okay, all right, supplying Christ, F, supplying Christ. This is another work to bring in bringing people into their usefulness and function and service to build up the church. Okay, some brothers and sisters have not passed the hurdle of experiencing Christ as life and as their inward fullness. The elders must spend time to fellowship, pray, and talk to them. You have to show them that the content of the gift must be Christ. Perhaps there's need for another consecration here. And Brother Lee says using illustration here. Some saints, they're quite ready. They are quite, you know, have something. But you realize this brother or sister has some shortage in experiencing Christ. Or that experience is for a long time now just kind of hanging at a certain level and not increasing their experience of Christ. So you need to privately help them to experience the Lord more. Perhaps you read a book with them. Perhaps you pray with them, perhaps, whatever the case may be. This is fine detail work on people. Okay, the supplying Christ. G, helping to fellowship. The elders have to help such brothers learn to fellowship with the Lord, to eat, drink, enjoy God, touch Christ every day, to fellowship with him, to absorb Christ and to enjoy him. You have to help the ones under your perfecting to know to have a root life, an unseen, invisible root life with the Lord. Without that, their service cannot be sustained. You have to check with them. How are their time with the Lord every day? How is their time in the morning? And so on and so forth in many things. H, perfecting in the truth. All these brothers and sisters are useful by this time. You'll find out that they are not entirely clear in the understanding of the truth. You still have to perfect them in many ways concerning the truth. Illustrations concerning perfecting the truth. I won't go this. This is Brother Lee's experience with Brother Nee, being given those two classic works by Darby and Dean Alford in his early days in Shanghai. And that's how Brother Nee perfected Brother Lee in truth. And we have to help those under our care likewise. I, helping others to solve their problems. For example, some sisters have a genuine desire to serve. They have been helped through the previous 8 points, you know, from A to H. Yet their husbands are very much opposed to them. How are you going to help such a one with their problem? That's our job. How? Not easy. Not easy. When you especially get into marital situations, very, very challenging. And I would say some young brothers, don't be so presumptuous. You know how to take care of people's marriages, and you just become the marriage counselor in the church. Please, don't do that. I caution you, do not get involved in saints' marriages so easily. Even for us who have some experience, have to be quite exercised in this matter. But these things may be brought out. Maybe there's some issues there. And how do you help them? This really calls for a lot of learning. Okay, two, take for example another brother who has the genuine calling to serve full-time, yet he has a problem with his job. Should he continue with his job? Another case. Another case is of a brother whom you may feel is really suitable to be an elder, yet his job takes up all his time from morning till evening. How are you going to help such a one solve the problem of his time? There are other brothers and sisters who can serve and who should at the same time continue a job, yet their incomes are not enough for them to live by. How do you help that? There are bound to be some brothers who have learned the lessons and who have been called, yet they have such things as family burdens, physical burdens, material needs, family opposition, sometimes health issues. These are all the very myriads of practical needs that saints may run in, may possess. And we just don't, he has that problem, forget about him. He has this problem, forget about him. In the end, nobody has no problem, including you. And no one is qualified to serve, and you don't want to spend the time to solve their problem, and so your church dies. You just go on in a death march, you know, going nowhere. Brothers, no. No, Brother Lee always tells us, work with what you have. Don't have this ideal dream, the grass is greener on the other side. I wish we had that brother in our church. Work with what you have. Don't compare church to church. You work with the brothers, and then you do a slow and detailed work on them until they get through with certain matters and they can serve the Lord more readily. When the brothers and sisters come to you for fellowship, you cannot say only spiritual words. That's easy. What kind of help are you going to give them? How are you going to help them solve the problems? This is a necessary work. How about this? Huh? I think this is just a lot of learning. A lot of learning. The main point is that we would be have this kind of heart, and this kind of orientation in our church life. You see, if you are like this, your garden, your church life, your garden, every plant will be flourishing. You know, gardeners, right? I'm not a gardener, so we have a gardener that comes and do the gardening. So some months ago, we decided to go to this zero scape. What do you call it? Save the water, you know. And so we put on the artificial grass and get our rebates, you know. But we still have some plants. I mean, even these are, water... drought-resistant plants. They're still plants. I thought drought-resistant means a couple of cactus and you don't need to care a thing for them. I was wrong. You need to maintain drought-resistant plants. And I have no time for that, you know. And so when the gardeners come, they have to trim, they have to do this and that. And now if you come to my house, I have a very nice drought-resistant landscape. And that's not because of me, that's because of the gardener. Even this, to me, it's just a lump of nothing, you know? Just a lump of nothing. My is to do this and do that, do this and do that. And so the garden, my garden flourished. It's not a miracle. because someone is giving individual attention to every plant. Week after week, week after week. Then you come to my garden. My, how beautiful it is. Well, I can say, praise the Lord. That's just spiritual talk. Praise the Lord. No, I should say, praise the gardener. Somebody worked on it. This is not a miracle work. Too many of us are still miraculous and Pentecostal in the way we administrate the church. No, we won't do that work. We just praise the Lord. I tell you, every person, every plant needs a lot of work. And that work will bear the fruit. And the garden will flourish. Okay? All right, I think this is good. How about we break now for how long? I don't know.